Okay, Russ, over to you.
Thank you. Okay, well, welcome to the SSR2 public comment webinar. So, next slide, please. Just want to start by saying we've been working for a while and have a document that's out for public comment. The URLs on the screen tell you where the report can be found and where the public comment page is. The point of this presentation is to give you a feel for what's in the report, not any more than that. The idea is for you to get a feel for what's in it and where to find the topics that are of interest so that you can participate in the public comment. Next slide. So in doing our work, we divided the work into four work streams. The first three work streams are mandated by the ICANN bylaws. The first one is to assess the implementation of the SSR1 implementation and make sure it had the intended impact. The second work stream is about SSR related issues within ICANN. The third one is SSR related issues within the DNS. And the fourth one is an optional item within the bylaws, which is to look at future challenges. Next slide. These are the people on the review team who did all the work. Next slide. And the review process is here. Basically, we've assembled the team, we've planned the review, we've conducted the review, and we're at the end of that phase where the draft report is out for public comment. That will end on the 4th of March, and then the review team will convene in Cancun to process the public comments, and the result will be a final report that goes to the board for their next step. Next slide. So in terms of setting the prioritization related to each of our recommendations, we conducted a survey among the review team, and you can see the scatter plot of importance versus urgency that the team members came up with each of the recommendations. There's kind of clearly two chunks, but the team, as part of the process, eliminated all of the recommendations that did not tie in one way or another to the strategic plan for ICANN. So it's not surprising that the importance and urgency are both fairly high for all of these chunks. And so as a result, the ones in the lower left got labeled medium and the ones in the upper right got labeled high. Next slide. So now I'm going to very briefly walk through each of the recommendations in work stream order. So the first one is an assessment that of the implementation of the SSR1 recommendations. We evaluated all 28 of their recommendations and felt that 27 of them remained relevant today, but they were not fully implemented so as to cause the intended effect. So the first recommendation is to finish the implementation of the 7 of the 27. In addition, there are 7 that we felt there that we wanted to say more about, And so those resulted in a few additional recommendations. Next slide. That's what I just said. The only thing here is that you can look on page 23 to see that part of the recommendation in our report. Next slide. So the first one we wanted to say more about was recommendation 9. And we felt that ICANN org should improve its approach to security certifications and audits. So that's a stretch beyond the original SSR 1 recommendation. And you can see more about that on page 23. Next slide. This one builds on SSR recommendations 12, 15, and 16, and calls for a strategy and framework and metrics and vulnerability disclosures. Basically, issues we're calling for a best practice for handling security issues. You can learn more about that on page 24. Next slide. This one builds on SSR recommendations 20 and 22, which calls for budget transparency and budgeting SSR related to new GTLDs. We just are calling for additional clarity around the SSR budget. It's quite difficult to look at the budget now and tell whether a particular item is related to SSR or not. And that's the big ask here. And you can learn more about that on page 24. Recommendation 27 from SSR 1 was about risk management. And we call for an improvement to the risk management framework. And you can learn more about that on page 25. So now we're entering Workstream 2. We are calling for the creation of a position that's responsible for security and risk management within ICANN. We believe this person needs to report directly to the CEO and be focused on these security goals. And we talk about that on page 27. Within the function that would report to that C-suite position is where recommendation 7 falls, and that's to further develop a risk management framework. Here we would say, believe that the right answer is to follow ISO 31000 to articulate those risk management approach being taken. That is on page 28. Again, within the organization that reports to that C-suite position, we believe we need to establish a continuity of business plan based on ISO 22301. Basically, we are calling for the establishment of a best current practice for both ICANN and for PTI operations, and that that plan should be audited regularly. Learn more about that on page 29 and 30. Next slide. So again, falling in that purview of that C-suite position, we believe that we need to deal with disaster recovery. And we're calling for a plan, again, that covers ICANN and PTI regarding disaster recovery, following ISO 27031. And again, we are asking that be audited regularly. And that is on page 30. Recommendation 10 is the first one in Workstream 3. And here we're calling for improvements to in a of the framework to define and measure registrar and registry compliance, focused on who is obligations. Basically, we're looking for SLAs in the contracts. And here you can learn more about our thoughts on pages 37 and 38. Recommendation 11. We believe that the community needs to come to a better definition of DNS abuse. However, we're very concerned that we don't want things to stop while this definition is sorted out. So basically, we want to start with the existing definition and then continue community-wide efforts to define the term. And we have other recommendations regarding DNS abuse, and we want those to move forward with the existing definition while the while this recommendation is implemented. That's, you can hear about that on page 38. Recommendation 12. We want to create legal and appropriate access mechanisms to WHOIS data to resolve the access issue for external parties such as law enforcement that are basically, these groups are throttled today, and we want to, you can read more about that on page 39. Recommendation 13 is to improve the completeness and the utility of the DAR, which is the Domain Abuse Activity Reporting Program. We think that while things are going well, we think there's things that can be improved. You can read about that on page 39. Recommendation 14 is to enable qualitative analysis of the relationship between payments for domain registrations and the one and those domains that have abuse. We think that collecting, analyzing, and publishing the pricing data would allow that kind of analysis to take place. And you can read more about that on page 39. Recommendation 15, we believe that the contracts with registrars and registries should be changed to include incentives to help mitigate DNS abuse. We talk about that on page 40. Recommendation 16 is closely related to the previous one. We think there should be pricing incentives for contracted parties to help mitigate DNS abuse and security threats such as distribution of malware. Again, we want to offer incentives to support these SSR goals in contracts. More about that on pages 40 and 41. Recommendation 17 is to create a central abuse report portal. Basically, we found that a lot of people don't know how to report abuse because there's so many different ways depending where the domain name is registered. So we recommend a single point to do that. And while we recognize that this has some consequences related to denial of service, we felt that having no easy way to report the abuse was a problem, but that it would be okay to say no action needed to such a report when it's being used as a vector for DDoS. More about that on page 41. Recommendation 18 is to ensure that ICANN compliance activities are neutral and effective basically we want to audit all compliance activities against appropriate SLAs. More about that on page 41. Recommendation 19 is to update the handling of abusive naming. We want to continue activities for the definition as related, as I said earlier, but we want to measure misleading naming and when such activities should also be included in DAR when they reach the level that you might call them abuse. More on that on page 42 and 43. Recommendation 20. There's currently a development of a DNS regression test suite underway. We think that the work that has been started needs to be finished pretty quickly. Page 43 for more on that. Recommendation 21 is to implement the recommendations that are in SAC 63 and 73 to establish formal procedures for key rollovers. We think that a very formal process is needed here. And you can read more about that on page 45. We'd like to see these some baseline security practices documented for root server operations, including recommending some key performance indicators. And obviously, we think RSAC should be involved in that work. More about that on page 46. We, in recommendation 23, we believe that we should increase the urgency around deploying the new root zone management system. We know that it's under development, but we think there's some important features that are coming along in that. And we've also highlighted that we think two-factor authentication needs to be implemented as part of that. That's all on page 47. Recommendation 24. We'd like to see a list of statistics and metrics around operational status of the unique identifier system created and made public. And that's discussed on page 48. Recommendation 25, ensure that the centralized zone file data access is consistently available. Basically, we're saying implement SSAC 97. More about that on page 48 and 49. Recommendation 26 is to document, improve, and attest the emergency back-end registry operator processes. We're aware that these have been tested twice. We think they should be tested regularly. More about that on page 50. Recommendation 27 is to update the DPS, which is related to the crypto used in DNSSEC, so that in addition to having the algorithms in the document, but it talks about how to roll to future algorithms, we believe that either a roll to elliptic curve or a roll to a post-quantum secure digital signature is in the future, so we think that this document should be developed to accommodate that. Page, that's more on that on page 53. Recommendation 28 is to develop a report on the frequency of name collisions and propose a solution. We think that needs to be done before the next round of GTLDs. And that's on page 53. Recommendation 29 is to provide a focus on privacy and SSR measurements for improving those. Basically, we're asking to look at these new technologies such as DNS over HTTPS, figure out how to measure compliance with privacy requirements when they are used. Next slide, please. Recommendation 30 is to stay informed about academic research related to the SSR issues within ICANN and the DNS. Basically, we're asking, this recommendation includes a list of conferences where peer-reviewed research gets published that is related to those topics. And we think when something surfaces that's useful, it should be reported out to the whole community. More about that on page 57. And recommendation 31 is also related to DNS over HTTPS or DOE. We think that it's important to have a independent study commissioned around the implications of its widespread adoption. And you can read more about that on page 58. So that's the end of the recommendations, but I wanted to highlight a few other things that are in the report. There's definitions, acronyms, and suggestions. Those are not recommendations about SSR, but they're about making future reviews easier to complete. So there's three of those. We explain our process and methodology. We moved the detailed findings of the related to the implementation of the SSR 1 recommendations to an appendix to make the body of the report more focused. We quoted the text from the ICANN bylaws and the strategic objectives. As I said earlier, we already made sure that each recommendation was focused on a strategic objective or goal, and which recommendation is supporting which strategic objective is back there. We have some research data about DNS trends and abuses. I'm sorry, DNS abuse trends back there as well. And the how the work streams line up with the bylaws is back there as well. Next slide, please. So that's a brief summary of what's in our draft report, pointers to where to learn more. Please participate in the public comment. And if there's any questions, I'll take them now. I see a hand from Jeff Houston.
Thanks, Russ. Certainly is a lengthy report, and it's no doubt the SSR2 review team did a lot of work. I have two questions. The first, are you of the opinion that the review report adequately motivates each of these recommendations within the body of the report and adequately describes the intended benefits? Were these recommendations to be adopted?
Well, I don't know about adequate is an interesting word to pick.
Deliberately.
Yeah, right. So I think it depends who your reader is, whether it does that or not. I think that there are motivations. We tried very hard to look forward to SSR3 having to evaluate the implementation of these recommendations. And we tried to make sure that it would be easy for them to measure whether the implementation was successful or not. And then the had the intended effect part is always the harder part. So we tried to say enough about why we wanted it done to do that. So we think we met what you were saying for an informed reader. If one of your comments is, please put more in there, then that seems to be the implication from you asking the question at all.
I'll move on to the second one. One of the things that I noticed was that there was little comment about areas where the ICANN organization and the community were doing an effective job. And my question is such an omission from this review report to be interpreted by the reader as a comprehensive condemnation of the current setup?
No, I think it was more a more coordination would make a much easier job for everyone involved and for others to see SSR3 and anyone else who chose to look. That was more how I would take it. I see Lauren, one of the review team members, has his hand up. I bet he wants to add.
Yes. Hi, everyone. This is Lauren speaking. Yes. So on, I think, the first question and to some extent the second, we did discuss, obviously, as every review team would, when to kind of go into that public comment period. And we kind of went for a time where I think the majority of the team felt now is a good time to get some feedback, to learn what the community thinks, and to still be able to deal with, you know, substantive comments. So exactly stuff like you mentioned makes sense to be reflected. And speaking now from my personal point of view, I do see how in quite a few cases, this needs to be kind of made more clear. We probably do need some additional guidance, some additional explanation for the final report. But again, right now, right, is a great chance to do that and to say, oh, there is stuff that is missing and that really needs quite a lot of additional words, for example, just to, you know, going for the second part of your question.
Well, thank you to both of you for your answers.
So I do want to build on one thing that Lauren said, and we did have a fair amount of discussion about how polished the report needed to be before we sent it out for public comment. And while the majority of the team felt that it was good enough at this point to understand whether the community was happy with the direction we were going, I don't think anybody thought it was okay if this version went to final. If that helps, that's where we are.
That's most helpful. Thank you.
Yep.
Oren,
is that a new hand?
There's a question in the chat from Maxime, which I'll read out. Actually, two questions. I'll read them both at the same time. What is the reason to believe that usual each 5 minutes testing of all active registry backends by MOSAPI of ICANN is not enough? End of the first question. Second question, were legal experts invited for forming recommendations to amend legal documents of registries? End of question. Thanks.
So not sure which part of the report the first question was about. Regarding the second, No, we did not have a lawyer on the team, and we did not at this point ask a lawyer to review that. At the same time, we know that there's a long process to get those agreements through a community process and then actually negotiated and implemented. But I think that what we have provides a direction for that. So regarding the first question, did she post a follow-up?
No follow-up has yet, but Sarko has his hand raised.
Sarko, go ahead.
Yeah, I believe I understand what Maxim is talking, but he didn't take that Russ was talking about emergency backend operators, not backend operators. So it should be tested all the way from escrow services, how data are transferred, what are policies, procedures, how emergency backend operator is ready technically to accept that data, and how fast they can go. So I believe that answer is clear.
Thank you for understanding the question. And yes, when we did that work, we found that it was multiple days for the emergency backend provider to come online. Lauren, you have a hand?
Yes, this is regarding the contracts. Just to add to what Russ already said, I mean, we do have actually people who are lawyers on the team, but we didn't look at this in that manner because this will go through like a million processes, as Russ said. I think what is kind of key to us going into that direction is if you look at the letter sent by Jamie Headland after the Alpnames incident, which I'm sorry I can't pull out right now. It's like 5:20 a.m. Where I am, so my laptop's off. But essentially what that letter says is there is no provisions in the contract to deal with such type of events. If you look at the contract, you see that is correct. And we do see that as an issue, particularly, you know, when it really goes to the extent we saw in that case. So, and then obviously this is not for us to kind of deal, you know, with the specifics, because this will go through community and a variety of relevant processes. And I think there's just something on contracts. Yes, Maxime, I'm just responding to the comment as well, which is changing contracts without lawyers leads to issues in the real life. Yes, that is correct. And that needs to be done. What we're saying is do change them. There is like a gap. And we're not defining how that should happen, because that requires someone who knows what they're doing and also a significant amount of time, because these contracts have different runtimes, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay, Jeff, I see a hand.
I hate fighting for the mute button. I do have a third question that's come to me as I've been reading through this document thoroughly. On a number of occasions, this report effectively repeats existing ESSAC recommendations to the board. And it sort of says, well, the board should pay attention to these. Why are these particular cases called out? And why does the report not say what appears to be the most obvious thing? Is it not the case that the review is saying the board isn't paying sufficient attention to its advisory committees? And if that's really what you meant to say, why didn't you say it? If you really did want to say, well, you should pay special attention to these particular recommendations from ESSAC, are the rest of them all rubbish? I'm like, why call out just those? Okay, I'm trying hard to understand the specifics.
There was no intent to say the others are rubbish. There was an intent to call out these as the way to solve the particular problem that is being discussed there. And in some cases, for example, the CCT review called out the same recommendations for related to reasons that they had in their report. We did not go through and point out every place that others had made the same recommendation. But at the same time, we thought if somebody else has already done the work, let's point to it as opposed to write all that down in here in terms of the details. So maybe I guess we were trying to use a shorthand where we could.
I'm not suggesting that, Russ. What I'm saying, I suppose, is these other groups had already given this advice to the board, yet this review felt that it was worth repeating. And I suppose I'm sort of left with the conclusion that I draw, going, the only reason why you think it's worth repeating is because it doesn't seem like it's being listened to. But that's not what the report. You don't actually say that.
In some cases, things have moved, but not moved fast enough. I guess what you're calling for is a distinction between those cases where the advice was given and the needle didn't move, and advice was given and the needle moved a little, but not fast enough or far.
I think that would be the more helpful thing, because it's not the advice. It's kind of, well, what's going on with it, which is really the question for everyone, not only for the SOs and ACs, but for this review report. And I think it would be more helpful if you added some more text about what you felt about why you felt the need to repeat them, rather than just repeating them.
That's a good question, and certainly one that actually was not a discussion of the review team to date. So it sounds like we're going to have an interesting discussion in Cancun.
Okay, thank you.
Please put that in the public comment.
Oh, it will be there. Thank you.
First, I'm going to read another question in the chat from Yazid. It's, when stating that 27 of the previous recommendations are still relevant, I would like to understand what are the reasons, and also was there any suggestion from SSR1 on the estimated duration to implement those previous recommendations? End of question. Thank you.
Yeah, so if you go back and look at the SSR1 report, some of them did have timelines associated with due by or due before, you know, those kind of things. But what we found was with that one recommendation that it just, remember that SSR1 was done before the IANA transition, and that one just didn't seem to still be relevant today.
Thank you. There's no other questions in chat, and I see no hands raised at the moment.
Okay, then thank you so much for your time. I hope this has been helpful in terms of pointing you to topics that might be of interest. And thank you very much. We look forward to your public comments.
Thanks, all, and good night, Russ.
It's very early morning here.
See ya.